So it's new episode time. I think this might be a longer gap between when we've done it before. But yeah, it's that time again where I don't know what we're going to talk about and you're going to tell me. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
Ready to tell me?
Yeah.
All right, go for it.
Okay. Meltdowns.
Meltdowns.
I think it would be a good one because you used to have meltdowns, but you don't have them, like, you seldom have them anymore.
I can't remember the last time I had one, if I'm honest. And I suppose there's different types. I mean, I should probably start with explaining what meltdowns are. I mean, if you follow any sort of autism pages on Facebook or any of those sort of social media things, people always video their children, I've seen, have meltdowns, and there's loads of different ways to control them. Do you remember ages ago we did a podcast or tried to on sensory problems? I think meltdowns probably link to them.
I mean, I think we should go back and talk about sensory problems again because we never actually put that podcast up. But I think we should maybe, because I think, like, and it will be the same for this topic. I think it's such a big topic and there's so much to talk about. So I think this is definitely like not one that we would just do and then never do more on it. But I
No.
was, for this particular episode, like, I was gonna do kind of, because meltdowns are different for everyone. Like, no one, there isn't a set, like, meltdown routine
Well,
sort
I
of
mean,
thing.
like I suppose instead of like going into what they are. Or maybe you can, like the meltdown, like I said, meltdowns are different in the sense of what they are and what causes them for everybody else. So, I, for example, have two versions of meltdowns that I'm aware of. I definitely used to get when I was younger one more than the other. So the two I have is I have an angry meltdown, and I have what can be described as a, I don't know what the other one is. But it's like uncontrollable. I don't know.
Like sadness?
It's not sadness. It's like a, I don't know. I just shut down, I think, completely.
Well, I've also, I mean, this is separate and I was going to talk about this separately, but I've seen that there's also a kind of a meltdown, meltdowns that some people on the spectrum have, and then shutdowns, which I know what you're talking about is more just a brief shutting down, whereas some people, instead of having, I guess, a meltdown, they have a shutdown. But
I
that,
probably, I mean, I've not heard of that before. What's that?
like the need to not be around anyone,
Oh
not
yeah,
speak to
but I
anyone.
do that all the time.
That's, I mean, I was gonna say, like, for me, I think I have shut, I think I'm like almost in a constant state of shutdown or like,
Yeah, I mean, I have shutdowns in the sense of like I get them quite a lot where I just stop talking, I stop doing stuff. My meltdowns are more sort of I guess I get upset, but not like, it's hard to explain. Like, it's a
Well,
weird one. I'm not sure it actually happens to me when I have that one. I just know that I've been told that I get quite upset and and distraught with what's happening. The anger ones, I'm fully aware of what they are. Like, when I get angry ones, I usually end up smashing something or breaking something or like punching a pillow or smashing a door or things like that, but I haven't had one of them in a while. But they can just happen, and I've broken stuff in the past that's public. Like, I remember being in a public toilet and having an angry meltdown while I was out there, and I ended up punching one of those, those big plastic things that have like paper towels in them. And like punching one of them to bits, like off the wall. And like I hit it loads of times, so it came off the wall. And then when it hit the floor, I was then like stomping on it. And then when the little shards of it were left, I was kicking them about. Like, and it went on for like 10, 15 minutes till I was like so physically exhausted from it that that's when I stopped. But like, if I hadn't run out of the energy, I probably would have carried on. I've not had one of them in a long time, but I remember being like, when I was younger and a child, they would be quite frequent. I think my mom told me once that my brother beat me at like Mortal Kombat on the Mega Drive, and like his continuous gloating and the noise he was making and the words he was saying were so like overwhelming for me that my mom said I ended up like headbutting him. And like, it's uncontrollable when it happens. Yeah. So like, you end up becoming, in my case, aggressive. But like, I think when I was younger, it used to be towards people. And then as I got older, I learned that like, violence towards other people is not ideal. So I learned how to hone it into inanimate objects and things around me.
Yeah.
And because of that, I've broken like stuff that like I wanted, or possessions of mine. Yeah. That I thought, after I'd done it, why have I done that? For example, I think another one that reminds me, I was trying to take a set of drawers apart ages ago when I was living with a girlfriend, and I couldn't do it, and it was falling apart to the point where I just had so much of an angry meltdown that the hammer and screwdriver that I was using, I literally broke it into splinters, and like, we had to just buy a new set of drawers. And that set of drawers had cost like £100 or something stupid like that. And like, I was trying to take it apart because it needed moving, and it was too heavy to move as one piece, and I was trying to do it on my own, that I just lost all like coordination with it and just smashed it into pieces. And I was well annoyed after I'd done it, because I was just like, why have I just done that? Like, now I've got to buy a new set of drawers.
Well, this is kind of, so like I said, it's a really broad topic, but what I wanted to talk about specifically with meltdowns for this was kind of more personal, like what they are to us. Because I think broadly, like, we could talk about, and probably in the future we'll talk about, them on a broader scale and like how they affect different people differently, but I kind of wanted to go more personal with just like what a meltdown is to you, and obviously you've got two, and what it feels like. And I think like the interesting thing with you that I don't have is you've got more of an understanding. Like, one, you don't really have them anymore, so you've learned a lot better how to deal with them, but also you know a lot more than I do what triggers yours and what will cause a meltdown, whereas with me, sometimes I've got no idea.
Well, yeah, so I remember just before getting diagnosed, mm-hmm. And I think during diagnosis and a little bit after diagnosis, like I think that whole year and a half, I think I was having one a week, but not the angry ones. Like I say, I can't remember the last time I had one of them. But the other one, I was having them weekly. And the way it was explained to me by the woman that diagnosed me, or my therapist, was that she said that the trouble is, when you have a meltdown, is if you don't know what they are, you think you're having like a tantrum, or like just an outburst of some sort. And you think the thing that you're doing at that point is the thing that's triggered it.
Yeah.
So like, say you go to like a supermarket, you specifically have got it in your head, I'm going to buy, I don't know, broccoli.
Yeah.
Broccoli's what you want. You've been thinking about it for ages. Definitely broccoli. Go to the supermarket. No broccoli.
Yeah.
Like, and then you have a meltdown. Mm. And you think it's because there's no broccoli, and that's why you're having a meltdown. And everything was fine up until that point, and that triggered it. My therapist told me that apparently how it works, or I suppose I can't blanket say this works for everybody, but for me, it's like you've got like a glass and you're filling it with water, and the water is the things that are going against your way of things, like your routine, your schedule. If you have sensory problems or sensory stimulus, they're being triggered.
Yeah.
And eventually each bit of this thing fills the water up. And then the last thing that goes in when the water's right at the top is the thing that spills it over the side. And that's how a meltdown happens. And the trouble is it only spills it out to a point where it can't spill out anymore, but you're still like, you know, 3/4, whatever percentage of the glass full still. So it only takes a little bit to tip it again, which is why I was having them quite regularly. And it wasn't until after I got diagnosed that I realized what the things were that were filling it up and making me be that way. So I just avoided those things. And I think because of that, my glass never gets to that point where the meltdowns are triggered.
Yeah.
You, on the other hand, like, and we'll, I know you wanted to talk about like what I know about it, and I'll continue. So I'm just using you as an example. You have them quite frequently.
Yeah.
And they'll be over loads of different things. I mean, some stuff like, I know you're having some problems today with it. Yeah. I don't know if you've had a meltdown today, but, I know that you're having, you even told me that you're ruminating again, and I know rumination and like certain thought, routines with you are the things that trigger yours.
Yeah.
Mine were triggered by loads of different things. So the things that I know are things that will cause a meltdown in me is, I don't get it so much like you do with the schedule. So for me, I'm a bit more flexible to you in the sense of, if I've planned to do something and that's the thing I've got to do, I can deal with the fact that it's changed.
Yeah.
I can only deal with the fact of the change if all the other triggers I have aren't happening at the same time. So I can deal with change if I'm cool, apart from that one thing.
Yeah.
I think I have a lot more sensory problems with you than, say, things like sound. So, like, I'm more sensitive to sounds than you are.
I think sensory-wise, and we'll do, like, a thing
yeah,
on this.
Yeah, but, like, sensory...
You have more negative, and I have more positive.
Yeah, so I have lots of, like, yeah, negative sensory stimulus, and they will contribute to me having a meltdown. So too many of them around me will cause a meltdown. Like, for example, I remember one of the more obvious ones I've had recently, or I say recently, but in the last few years, or one of the last ones I remember having, was at work when... I was having to talk to loads of people and, you know, I had it in my head that this is the plan of things I was supposed to be doing that day.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get them done because it was too busy. Some customers that have a tone of voice, their particular tone of voice is irritating to me. And
yeah.
Some people just have that and it's not their fault. But some people just have a tone that for me is just hideous to listen to and I can't listen to them talk. And it's like a nails on a chalkboard kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, several people have been in talking to me that way. I remember in a previous job, there was a particular customer that their voice was so bad that I had to just walk away while they were trying to ask me something and just get away from them. So there was that going on. Loads of people were asking me questions when I was trying to do something else. Like, because we, like, there was loads of stuff being brought into the store that was all around my feet. So, like, my spatial mobility was ruined. I couldn't move around that much without kicking something over or tripping something up. Because that was happening a lot, there were loads of noises of stuff falling over and being kicked about, which was adding work to the day. And it was just ongoing. And I was there all day. And no matter what I tried, nothing could get me to a point where I could calm down. And, like, one thing happened where... somebody said something and I just had a meltdown. And before diagnosis, I would have attributed that whole meltdown to just that one person saying, no, we can't do that.
Yeah.
And then me having a meltdown. And it looks like a tantrum that you're having. It looks like you're having like a massive, like babyish reaction to one thing. But it was a combination of that. And sometimes with me, like my meltdowns can be a buildup of things that have happened over a month. So say there's been like a month of just the odd thing, you know, job interview, didn't get the job, you know, wanted to keep my flat clean, but I've stained the carpet. And every time I walk past the carpet, I can see the stain.
Yeah.
And that's like, every time I see it, that's a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. And I can have mine build up for like months. And then all of a sudden, like one thing happens and I have a like full on meltdown. And like, I've done it on buses, I've done it in supermarkets where I've just had a meltdown and just completely gone to pieces. And it's a weird thing to see like a grown adult fall to bits like that. Like, you can usually tell when they're coming. So like I think the, not the angry one, but the other one, it's a bit like having a seizure almost.
Yeah.
So you know it's coming before it's about to happen. You can feel it. And you just have the meltdown. In your case, like, I've got better at spotting them when you're going to have them, and I'll try and, like, counteract them, and we can talk about that in a minute. Like, the things I've learned to try and stop them from happening before they happen. But, yeah, for me, like, they just would. They just come on, and they just happen, and it's a build-up of a month. And I've learned to control them in the sense of... I now do the shutdown, which is the thing you've mentioned now that I think about it, where I will take a week off work and not see anyone, not talk to anyone, only go out for the bare essentials that I need, and keep myself away from all sensory stimulus, keep my routines to a routine that's so basic that there's no way that they can be broken or like complicated. And in doing that once a month or at night when I get home from work, that kind of resets it. So instead of like the glass filling constantly, it kind of just drains some of it out the bottom by doing that. And obviously the sensory stuff that I'm aware of, like I can just remove myself from that noise that's bothering me, or, you know, like someone's coming into contact with me too much. Like I remember having like a meltdown because I was sat at a bus stop with loads of other people, and just the guy next to me, because there was not a lot of seats, was just nudging me.
Like
he didn't mean to, but he just kept nudging me, kept like knocking into me. And you know, eventually I could feel myself getting worked up, so I just got up and moved. But everybody, like I think the reason meltdowns happen is because normal people vent it there and then. So like the one thing happens, they vent, you know, the thing that bothers them, they get it out of the system there and then by either having a go at the person that did it, you know, having a scream, having a shout, getting home and like having a hot bath, or, you know, having a drink or that kind of thing. And that kind of like lets the pressure off. You know, there's like, it's almost like a boiler that's like building up. And they just like dump the pressure off, like by doing this thing that they know is relaxing them. Or invoke some sort of positive emotion in themselves that like helps calm themselves down and get away from, you know, like people that like meditate or aromatherapy or that kind of thing. It kind of drains the stuff that's bothering them. Whereas I think for those on the spectrum, you can't really do that. Like it doesn't matter for us. Like there's no really way to get rid of it. You just have to avoid it.
Yeah, you can't really settle your brain, I think, when you're on the spectrum. Like it's constantly going. There isn't something like meditation. I guess you think it out and then it's gone. Whereas I think when you're on the spectrum, you don't have that kind of option.
Yeah, and
I
like,
think that might be what it is.
And like I don't think they have the sensory triggers or the other ones. And they can just let stuff go. Like they, you know, can take a holiday or just take a day off, or they have a weekend, or you know, that kind of thing. Whereas the things that would stimulate me negatively at work also exist in my free time.
Yeah.
So within my flat, no. My flat like is done in a way that wouldn't. But like outside, there are things out there that would cause the same effect as me being at work. So essentially being outside the flat has the same like complications where meltdowns could be triggered. So yeah, it's a difficult one.
I think it's interesting that you mentioned about when you were younger and headbutting your brother.
Yeah.
I think that like instantly made me remember a time when I was younger, and I remember having, I guess, like an angry meltdown, because I remember I was in primary school playing dodgeball with my class, and as happens in dodgeball, someone got me and I was out. But I got so worked up, like I sat on the out bench and I was one of the last ones, like, so it wasn't like I went out straight away. I'd had my bit of game, but I sat on the bench getting angrier and angrier. I was about six, and I just went up to the guy, James, I remember who it was, and just full on punched him in the stomach so hard that he like bent over and was crying. And I don't know where it came from, because I don't think I was that annoyed that I was out in the game, but there was something about him getting me out that just worked me up. And I know like kids can be bad losers and stuff like that, but I didn't see anyone else react in the way I was. And I think it probably was a build up of things from that day. Maybe like I can think of loads of times throughout like my childhood growing up and like still now that I've had, I guess, meltdowns. And like I have different ones too. I don't think I have like the anger and the other one that you have, but I think I have different ones in terms of like mine tend to like vary in length. So I can have like a short, I can have like a quick one that's done and then I feel fine afterwards, or I can have one that I will stop having a meltdown and I'll be back to being normal, but I know that I'm not over it, and I know that something else in the day will probably cause me to start up again. Like I can feel bad for like a whole day.
Yeah, well, this is what I mean. Like, if you, it's the same. Like, same for me. Like, when, well, mine, like, I think mine take longer, but like, you know when you're on the edge. So like, you know, like I said, like, you know when a meltdown's coming. So like, knowing that it's about to happen, that's like seconds before it's about to happen.
Yeah.
But equally, you can have this feeling of like anxiety or an uneasiness that you feel like there's something bad that's about to happen. Or
yeah.
It's because I'm like, I know what anxiety is, but it's like a feeling that something, there's something like inevitable or something looming, and you feel like this weird, like, not fear, but like caution towards stuff, and you feel like it's an odd one. It is kind of like anxiety, but it's slightly different. Like, a meltdown, when they're about to happen, you physically can feel it about to happen. Whereas I feel like there's like this sense of dread that you know something's wrong, but it doesn't feel like it's something within yourself. It kind of feels like there's an external something that's like weighing down on you, and like you know there's something out there. Like, it's a bizarre one. I guess there is anxiety, and there is a definitely anxiety in there, but there's something else, and it feels bizarre. But you also are aware of the fact that there's something not right, and I think that's the build up. I think that's what you're feeling there.
Yeah,
is the build up to a meltdown, because the weird thing is, once you've had the meltdown, literally seconds after,
it's gone.
You feel fine.
Yeah.
You feel like it didn't happen, and that weird, like, sense of dread disappears with it. But obviously, if you've ever had a meltdown around someone, or especially around someone that's NT, like, because you've had meltdowns in front of me now.
Yeah.
But I'm fully aware of what they are, because even though you think yours are different to mine, you're the one you have the most. Or their full-on meltdowns. I recognise it as it's very similar to mine.
Okay.
It's just you wouldn't know because you've never seen mine.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't recognise the difference. Whereas I know with yours when they come in, you can tell when they come in. And sometimes, like, they don't come fast enough. So, like, there are times where I think you trigger them on purpose as well.
Yeah.
Not you. I'm not saying, like, you do. You do. But I'm saying, so did I. So, like, you know it's about to happen, but you're sick of the, but when is it? So you do the thing where you repeatedly think about the things that have just happened.
Yeah.
So it happens. So, like, with the dodgeball,
yeah,
it could be that you knew you were due a meltdown, or you just wanted it out your system because the pressure of it was too much, that you just drove yourself mad thinking about what had just happened, and that's when it happened.
Yeah. So, like, I think sometimes if I know I'm definitely, something's going to cause me to have a meltdown because I know, like, I'm on the edge, then I'd rather just make myself have a meltdown instead of wait until I'm out in public, something happen, and then publicly have a meltdown, because I am usually really, I'm usually quite good at not having meltdowns in public. I can't, there's only been a few that I've had in public, but if I know that I'm going to have one and something triggers it, I will just be I won't talk to anyone, or I'll be really closed off, and essentially, like, what will happen is I just build it, builds and builds and builds, and then the moment that I'm on my own, I just explode.
Yeah, I mean, that's like I say, that's a good thing. I mean you haven't had many public ones, I guess.
No.
So yeah, there's control. I mean, I've had about three that I can think of. There might have been more, but I can think of three that I did on public. One was on a bus, which I couldn't help. One was during a interview with somebody that was assessing me for something. And the last one, I can't remember. I think I might have been Skyping someone. So it wasn't...
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't, like, public, but somebody else could see me on the side of the camera. Because, yeah, like you said, you know when they're coming, and it's just good to get them out of your system. But I also, weirdly, since we've been talking about this, it made me think of something else. Like, because I always do the thing where, like I said, I blend in and read people and, you know, I'm good at appearing like there's nothing wrong with me. I've noticed that when I'm closer to having a meltdown or that kind of thing, or there's something that's triggering me or has that kind of, like, giving me like a negative stimulus, I've noticed that I slip out of the ability to blend in again. So like, yeah, there have been times where I've said some proper horrible stuff to people, or there have been times where I've suddenly appeared autistic, and it's kind of like a weird pop-up where like, oh, what's that? Like, yeah, you just did something like autistic. I think once I start doing them more, I think that's when I know that something's bothering me. So that's, for me, is another way of spotting like how to avoid, like, how to avoid like meltdowns, is when I start doing things like, when I say something, you know, like, and there's been times where like, not, because obviously I've had like retail jobs,
yeah,
where there's that standard back and forth of like, you're the person, you're the sales assistant, they're the customer,
yeah,
and you follow that. Am I fitting in? I followed that, but then there'd be times where I wouldn't be able to, because like, I was like, something was happening, or like I said, there was somebody's voice or a sound, or things had been going wrong all day, where I couldn't then stay within the confines of appearing normal, where all social cues and all like structures of what's considered normal for everybody else disappears.
Yeah.
And I will say something to random strangers that they, obviously they're normal, they see the dynamic that's supposed to be happening, and I will say something to them that they've never, and I used to hear it all the time, like, I've never been spoken to this way before, or I've never had this from a sales assistant in a shop. And obviously previous to diagnosis, it was just seen as like bad attitude, and it was the same in school and that kind of thing. And people would just be like, you're nice a lot of the time and you do seem like this kind of way, but sometimes you just do stuff that's just so like mean spirited, or like so rude or so harsh. And like, thinking about it now, I imagine those spikes in my behavior were down to the fact that something else was bothering me at the same time, and I was unable to control my own like behavior in front of people, and I couldn't grasp it because this thing was stimulating me and distracting me and making me focus on it. That I was then being aggressive and rude to other people. And then because of that, like, not being able to maintain that I'm normal and appearing autistic, like, that in itself caused me more stress, which, you know, is like, has a like knock-on effect. It's like, yeah, some weird thing that then I know was going to cause me a meltdown.
I think, I mean, we've spoken a lot about like causing meltdowns. I think we should talk about, like, obviously they can be different, but just generally what a meltdown is for us, because we're saying it, but we've not said.
I can't explain what it involves. I can't explain what mine involve. If I'm honest, like,
if you were an outsider looking at it,
well, I don't know.
What would you see, or do you not know?
I don't know. Okay. Like, mine are different. I kind of like almost curl up into a ball. I know I hide my face when it's happening. I can't talk. It's a weird one. I mean, for me to explain what my meltdowns are like, I think I would need someone that's witnessed one to explain what actually happens. And there's very few people that have seen me do it.
Yeah.
All I know is I feel it coming. There's a feeling like within my chest, stomach, when it's about to happen. It happens. I find myself breathing a lot faster than I normally do. So it kind of, to begin with, appears what looks like a panic attack. And then I'll just shut off. I'll either curl up into a ball. I'll either duck my head. Like, I tend to use my arms to cover my head completely. So, and then there's like lots of like shallow breathing. It almost looks like you're sort of freaking out.
Yeah.
You know, and then I get like, I can like make loud noises. So sometimes there's a lots of like, not screaming, but like, I'll just make weird noises as well at the same time. I'll get like really hot. And like feel like sweaty. You know, and it'll go on for a while. And then usually after it's happened, I'll have a headache once it's over. But then I'll go back to normal. Yeah. Sometimes my eyes are red. Sometimes it looks like I've been crying. Whereas I don't think I do cry, but I know for people that have meltdowns, crying is a massive part of it. But I don't know for me if I do. I'm not really a crier, so like of the few times I have, it's rare to see me cry.
Yeah.
Like the two things that I'm kind of, I've always known about myself is one, you'll never see me throw up, and two, you'll never see me cry. They're weird things that I'm not really someone that does it either. So I don't think I cry in the emotional meltdowns, not the anger ones, but the other one. Yeah. But there is a full on, it looks weird. I think for me, mine resembles more like a really heavy panic attack. If it looks like it more than anything. And I lose a sense of where I am. So like I kind of go internal completely, and it's like all surroundings and everyone around me disappears.
Yeah.
And I'm solely on my own at that point. And I don't know how long it lasts. Some of them have lasted like 10, 15 minutes of doing the same thing. Some have lasted like less than a minute. You know, at one point they used to happen quite frequently and they were quite bad. Sometimes I would say out loud the things that were bothering me. So if there was particular things that were winding me up, I would be saying them while it was happening. Like, you know, I don't do this, or why can't I find that, or that kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
I'll state the things that are relevant, sort of like a mantra, like saying it out loud, kind of like expels it from your body.
Yeah.
And then I'll go back to normal. And then the person, if anybody, in the rare occasions people have seen it, they look at you like, what the hell just happened to you? Like, they want to talk about it. They think that something weird's happened. You know, they want to ask you if you're okay and you're all right. But for you, there's like this sense of like just calm and relaxation where you've just, you know, like I say, let the pressure off.
Yeah.
And you're fine again.
Yeah.
The angry ones were different. They felt the same. So they felt, when they started, they felt the same as the upset ones. But there's this feeling of like annoyance and irritation and like rage. But it felt more than what I would explain to somebody else, like so, like a NT person would experience. It was like so like overpowering, and you know when people talk about like the red mist.
Yeah,
it's kind of on the levels when people say, "Oh yeah, then I see the red mist, and I don't know what happens." But it was kind of along those levels. Like you're just super irritated, angry, like annoyed. You feel like you have been cheated out of something, and everything is like just unfair, and like you need to like restore balance in some way. This is a weird thing, like trying to explain meltdowns when you think about it, because I'm so like out of touch with my own like physical
how you are when you're doing
it. Like, yeah, my mom's always asking me all the time, like, well, how do you feel within yourself? And for me, that just it always sounds mental, and I always think like I don't even know what that means. Like, it feels like, you know, when people like go traveling to find themselves.
Yeah.
When people ask me to like, what are you feeling right now? Or how do you feel within yourself emotionally? I just think they're asking me some like
hippie.
Zen.
Yeah.
Like, I just think like, that's not for me. Like, I'm not someone that like, you know, is into like that kind of like spiritual thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you're talking about. It doesn't occur to me that what they're asking me is like physically or emotionally. What it feels like they're asking me is, how do you feel as yourself as like, you know, sentient being? Like, I can't do it. So to talk about like meltdowns like we're talking about now, like, is a weird one, because you're asking me like what range of, I guess, emotions I go through.
Yeah.
And because I don't have them that regularly anymore.
Oh, I didn't necessarily mean emotions, I more just meant the processes.
Yeah, but I suppose they are different. I mean, yours, I mean, yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about I suppose yours then, because yours are more frequent.
Yeah.
And yours are, I mean, I've seen you do it like, I would say it's like what, 6 or 7 times now you've done it.
Probably.
While I've been there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yours are always identical. You do the same thing every time, and they're always the same every time.
I don't know what I do, if I'm honest. I know that I get really, like you said, you get hot. I know right before I feel like a wave of heat, like it feels like I'm having like a hot flush. I know that happens and I get really sweaty, and I know that I, like, my head feels really panicked and like I can't, there's too many thoughts in it, but I don't know what I do.
With you, it's kind of like It's kind of like you have like spasms, I suppose, in Matrix, right? Like you flail a lot, limbs everywhere. There's a lot of screaming, like really loud, high-pitched screaming, like no words, just screaming. Yeah, you just like sort of, you usually have to be like led down or sat down. I've never seen you do, I don't think you can do it stood up.
No.
And yeah, you just kick about, like there's lots of thrashing about, throwing your arms about, throwing your legs about, rolling about the place and just screaming really loudly for a bit until eventually you just stop. Yours are easy to stop though, like as much as you, when you're on your own, I imagine they can go on for a while until you've got it out of your system.
Yeah.
And you will just continue to do it until it's out of your system, whereas like I've learned like ways to get it out of you early, so it's fine. And I think that's the difference is, I know a lot of people on the spectrum that have their meltdowns, like they have them and people just think, ride them out. Like, you know, they just need to work it out. This is just something they do. Like someone that has epilepsy or Tourette's or something like that. Like, just let them work it out. Whereas I think on the times where I've shut yours down early, I think you've not felt cheated, or when you've come out of it, you've not felt like there was more.
No.
Like, more to come.
Well, it's not like that. I mean, the things you do, it's not like an instant shut off. I think you, it takes like a few minutes.
Oh, so I don't know. I think a couple of times I've done it, it's been instant.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's just stopped straight away.
Okay.
And you calm right down.
But I do think that's better because, like if I'm on my own and I'm having a meltdown like that, like, it will last. I don't know. I think usually I'm doing the kicking and screaming for like half an hour to an hour. Like it's not a brief thing. It goes on for a long time. And like, I'll stop screaming for like 5 minutes and then I'll probably just start up again. Like, cause my head won't, like, it's like my brain will be like, oh no, you're not done with this yet. Like you're going to carry on with this. And like, if I'm on my own, I find like, cause I'm thinking, I just start, like, it's hard to explain. It's like having voices in your head, but not voices in my head, but just my thoughts. It feels like my thoughts are screaming at me and they're too loud. And I can't let my brain have a minute to think about it, or I can't get them out of my head. So, like, I'll hit my head to try and stop them, and I scream to try and not hear them. Like, that's like, I don't know 100%, but that's why I think I do those things. Like the screaming, I think it's just because the thoughts seem like they're so loud in my head that I just want to block them out, and I hit my head to slow them down.
Yeah, I mean, yours sounds yeah, like in that sense, like internally sound different to what happens with me. With me, it's more of a like I say, it's more of a release. So it sounds like with you, it's more of a just something that's going to happen because it's got too much. And
yeah,
it's just the conclusion of the things you've been doing. Whereas with me, it definitely, when it's happening, I feel like it's draining something.
Yeah.
Like something is leaving me and it's gone. But like I say, everybody on the spectrum has them. And I think it's because we don't deal with stuff
normally
as it's happening. Like, we just, things happen, we think that we've had no emotional response to it, and that it didn't really matter, but it did. We just haven't realized it did, and it's gone in. We just didn't realize it's gone in, and that's where the build-up is. Like, same with you, yours probably happened because things have happened, but you've not felt anything towards it when it happened at the time, so you just thought, I'm not bothered about that. But then what's happened really is it has gone in still, and it's basically built it up, and you've then like not realized, and then the last thing's gone in, but there's nowhere for it to go. So it just comes straight back out again as a meltdown.
Yeah. I think some of it's the, like, some of what a meltdown is caused probably by like the way people with, or people on the spectrum have emotions, because like I think our emotions are different. I think we have like a difference, almost like a different set of emotions. Like it's hard to understand, hard to explain, like my opinion on it, and that's only coming from, I can only explain how I feel. But I think because I don't feel you like, I feel like with some people, like, something bad can happen, but then something good can happen to balance it out. Whereas,
yeah,
which, like, obviously can happen if you're on the spectrum, but I don't think, like, I experience the same positives as I do to the negatives. And I think
that... Well, do you think that you've ever had a positive meltdown? So a meltdown that was the opposite. So it was a happy meltdown, or a meltdown that gave you, like, so you know, like how you have, like, the crying, the anger, the whatever, the negative emotions that come out in a huge, like, ball of it at once. Do you ever feel like you might have had the opposite? So where the happy stuff and the good stuff's been going in, but you've not noticed it's been going in, and then all of a sudden it comes out as like a positive meltdown. Like to the point where you're maybe like laughing fits, to the point where it's too much and you can't control it and it's continuous. Or like just a ridiculous feeling of like contentment
maybe.
And, like, and happiness where that's just gone on for ages and you're ridiculously like giddy for no reason, and it's continuous and been going on for like 20 minutes, half an hour of just mental, and like it just came on from, like, say you made a dinner,
yeah,
and the dinner was just tasted really good, and was a really good dinner, and then you're like ridiculously like over the top and hyper,
yeah,
because of what, the food? No, it's just been a series of good events have done it.
Yeah, I think I have had that. I've never thought about it in that way before. But yeah, I mean, I got described... I've been described by quite a few, like, ex-boyfriends or friends, like, as being bipolar. Like, a lot of people when I was growing up thought I was bipolar.
Yeah.
And I'm fairly confident I'm not. But, like, that has probably come from...
Well, Asperger's and bipolar share a lot of similar traits. They have a lot of things in common with each other. And a lot of people, when you go see a therapist and you've got Asperger's, like, will look for bipolar first, or can be mistaken as bipolar. But it doesn't always come up like but then they're very close to each other. So like,
yeah.
I've seen like groups or things on like the internet of forums and that kind of thing of people that are, you know, there's a bunch of people with one and one with the other, and they've just compared notes because they're similar. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
I've never thought of a positive meltdown myself as something I've had.
Yeah.
I don't get waves of like happiness or waves of laughter. Like, I mean, have you ever seen me have like a laughing fit or
no.
anything like that? But I think that's because for me, like you said, like I don't have meltdowns that often anymore at all. I think I've become so good at controlling my meltdowns in general.
Yeah.
And for like when you meet me and talk to me and know me, or if people that do know me, I seem like I'm on the same level all the time. So
yeah.
I'm just at the same readout constantly with where I'm at emotionally.
I seem
the same. And I think that's because I've learned to control what I expose myself to and what I don't, because I worry about like the meltdowns that I think I'm probably blocking myself from what could be positive ones as well.
Yeah.
But I don't remember ever having them when I was younger anyway. So I don't feel like it's something I have, whereas I would say it is something you can have. And I think other people on the spectrum can have it as well. I think you can have positive meltdowns, but they're not something you want to stop. I mean, what's so bad about the negative ones that there's all these different ways to control it. I have loads of different ways to control my own.
Yeah.
And it's not that meltdowns are painful, the negative ones.
No.
But there are something that, like, given the choice, you'd rather just not have them at all.
I think, like, the thing about meltdowns that I hate the most, like, I wasn't going to do it as a topic, but the
way...
Well,
it's quite a... I mean, like, when you explain it, it sounds quite traumatic.
And
it's quite a deep topic to go into anyway in general, because it is one of the massive negatives to autism. It is the thing that... A lot of people that are autistic, you know, it's why they don't have jobs. It's why they don't leave their house. You know, those things that people associate with autism. It's a lot of reasons why those people don't do half the things that regular people do, because it will do this.
Yeah.
And I risk that knowing, I mean, I know there's a possibility every day of when I go out of the house and go to work that I could have one today.
Yeah.
Same with like going out to busy places. You know, if I decide to go on a night out, which I rarely do for the same reasons of like self-preservation. There's a reason I don't go out like on nights out. I'm fully aware of the fact that if I agree to it and go out, I'm running that risk, or I'm topping myself up for one somewhere down the line. And I think that's why people with autism, usually you don't see them do it.
I don't think they're painful. Like, I think this is a good, this is almost like a warm up for an actual discussion on them, because I think like this is just to get across like how they affect us. But in terms of the problem with them for me isn't having them. Having them, it sounds awful, like it sounds hideous, but to be honest, like I don't remember them. I'm not really aware of them while they're happening. It's kind of like while they're happening, it's a thing, but like as soon as it's done, I can't remember it. It's like a thing that happened that I wasn't a part of. So it's not, the thing itself isn't what I have a problem with. Like my biggest problem with it is it's just embarrassing. Like it, as much as it might be a part of like being on the spectrum, it is embarrassing being an adult and having what is essentially like a temper tantrum over, I mean, most of the time what it seems to be over to outsiders looking in is just you not getting your own way. Like usually for me, like a trigger is just not like not getting my own way, but something not going how I thought it would go. It's like a big trigger. So if
if
it looks like that, it's just embarrassing.
Well, for you is that, but like you think too much, like is your problem as well, so like that doesn't help. So I think yours are more frequent to mine in the sense of that you think too much, you're always thinking too much, and I think that's why you definitely have them more frequently, and that's why they happen. And like you said, that's why, especially for you, because obviously if you have them more frequently and they can happen in public, like it does look like you're just a massive like baby. Because people are like, all the time with her. Like, and it's always a similar thing. It's because I told her we can't do this or we can't do that, so she's doing this. And it's because, it's because you think about things all the time, constantly. Like today you've been like a little bit weird, like all day pretty much, just because you've been, I mean, God knows what you've been thinking about all day, but you've definitely been thinking about something and like... obviously, like for NT people, they ask what's up and like how are you and you're all right, because they can tell you're distracted, something's bothering you. Whereas in the case of me, like I become more frustrated with you because I know what you're doing and I know there's nothing wrong. You're just choosing to stay with something and like basically work yourself up. So I tend to tell you that you're being annoying and pack it in and like stop it, because I think it's because I can, so, like, because I've taught myself how. That, like, I just think, like, you need to get there. But, you know, you're not diagnosed yet. And I think that plays a big part in this for you, because I know you're a little bit weird about these podcasts in general. because I talk about you like you're... Well, I mean, you are. You're definitely autistic. Like, anybody that knows how to recognize Asperger's and someone listening to all the stuff you've said on here... Like, they know you are, like, I've told you you are, and, like, the fact that you have frequent meltdowns also, like, suggests that you are. And I think, like, you need the diagnosis to make your peace with that, so you can then move on with handling your meltdowns. I don't think you'll handle your meltdowns until someone says you're on the spectrum, and then you'll be able to deal with it. Which, to be fair, like, same thing for me, the difference being is I didn't know what a meltdown was until I was told by a therapist, this is what a meltdown is. And that was after I was diagnosed. So then I just remember thinking, I remember all these times where I've done stuff that I've then automatically like regretted. Like the tantrums or like the meltdowns, the emotional ones are embarrassing when people see it. Because at the time you just can't help yourself and it happens. Like, and then after it's happened, it's too late. They've seen it. They know that about you now. They've seen you like at sort of a weak point. I mean, I didn't realize that the reason I found it embarrassing was because my like ability to not appear autistic has just disappeared. Because there's no way I can explain what just happened. The angry ones were fine, because with the angry ones, you just look like you're someone that's got a temper. That's easy. That's for some reason that's
it's more acceptable.
That makes more sense for people to watch me like punch a pillow on a sofa and just think he's got anger issues, as opposed to the meltdowns we're talking about. They don't make any sense.
Yeah.
But it wasn't after I got diagnosed and my therapist said, that's what a meltdown is. We talked about what a meltdown is. She talked about how they're triggered. I then started to learn what my meltdown triggers were, where I like encountered them on a daily basis within my own routines and like places I go to. And you just learn how to tailor those things about yourself to stop them from happening.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. The reason I don't want them to happen has got nothing to do with them. Like, they're not painful. They can be slightly exhausting, but
yeah,
I do it because I don't want it to happen while I'm outside.
Yeah.
And like you said, if you're someone that's autistic and can't control them, it makes you want to go outside less.
Yeah.
Or be around people as much. Like, you're, apart from seeing me, like when we do these, and like going to work, I don't think you really have contact with other people. And I think the fact that your meltdowns are becoming not, I mean, from what you know, I mean, like I said, I've only really sort of known you or got to know you properly since November. So like, I've only known you, I've known you for less than a year, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's what, June? No, it's May now. So, I don't know to how frequent your meltdowns are, but in the little time that I've known you, your meltdowns are quite frequent. I don't think you can go a week without having at least two. So, you know, like, I can see why you keep yourself away from people. But you've also got to think about the fact that you keep yourself shut in, and apart from going to work and seeing me, and I don't do anything that sets them off.
Yeah, like, seeing you, I'm always fine with. Like,
yeah.
That's because...
If you get in front of me, I know what they are.
Yeah.
And equally, I know, I've kind of, I'm slowly learning what the things are that make it happen for you. Like, I'm not going to go into detail, obviously, while we're doing this, but you know what I'm talking about. There's one in particular that's one of your triggers that, like, if I know you've gone off to go do it, I kind of come busting into where you are and break it up, because I know what you're up to. Like, if I think, oh, it's been about 5 minutes now and she hasn't come back, I'm like, nah, I know what she's up to now, and I'll just go back and, like, you know, like, break it up. So, yeah, like, once you realise that, like, what the things are that are causing it, you just streamline yourself to not do it, and I think you don't. But then, like, with you, it's different. Like, you keep yourself away from as much as possible, but they still happen. But
yeah,
that's because, you know, your stuff's internal. But I think, like I said, other people that have it don't know what the triggers are, or they do, and the trouble is their triggers are things that they can't avoid, so they don't get a job, or they don't go out, or they don't see certain people. But you can't really explain that to someone else, because that sounds like, I think that's where this becomes like technically classed as a disability.
Yeah.
Because this is the
this is how it affects your day-to-day life.
Yeah, like, me being rude to people without realizing I'm being rude to people, I wouldn't class that as why I'm technically disabled.
Yeah.
You know, like, I say things to people that I shouldn't say. I overstep my boundaries constantly.
Yeah.
Talk back to people I shouldn't talk back to, say things to people that I shouldn't say, you know, and can be quite standoffish to people. And I don't see that as, that's the reason I've got disabilities, is things like meltdowns.
Yeah.
That I would consider like a disability, and like not wanting them to happen, because I know there's no way, and there's no way of stopping them.
No.
They're not something that you can get rid of or be cured of meltdowns. Like, even though I don't have them anymore, it does seem like I've cured myself of the meltdowns, you know?
Yeah.
But really what I've done is, apart from going to work and coming back here, that's as little traveling as I will do. I don't go back home to my hometown, because the massive change in like routine,
yeah, that's a big issue
is too much. So like, not having my own stuff, not having my flat, not having like the shops I'm used to, the area I'm used to. So like, family coming here is fine. Me going there, not so much. So I don't do that as much as like I would have done.
Yeah.
Keeping off public transport as much as possible, you know, and keeping myself in like that strict, like, way of things has limited like my cause of meltdowns.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. But that's in what way makes me disabled, because I Do you know what I mean? Like, I've always joked, like, if someone wanted to kidnap me, it wouldn't be hard to figure out where I'll be at certain times or, you know, when to do this and when to do that. And it's showing, like, then that's what it is. I found, like, the perfect way to limit my meltdowns. They can still happen because you can't stay to routine. Unexpected things will happen. And that's what I'm aware of. You know, if something unexpected does happen, what the other things are that could trigger it at the same time, and just to limit the ones I can limit to keep them controlled.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like you said, you do appear like there's something wrong with you the second you do one in public. People suddenly think,
yeah, it's not, well, like, it's not socially, it's not a social norm to do that. So, yeah.
I've never seen, like, any of my NT friends and family, like, I've never seen them do it.
Yeah.
And the only time I've seen them do it is, like, do you remember when you were three? Like, that's when I saw you do it.
Yeah.
Like,
I know NT people might, and it, not normally, but they might cry in public. Like, there is a chance that they will be overwhelmed with emotion, but it's not, like, to, I mean, as you've described mine, like, it's not getting on the floor, flapping your limbs about and screaming. Like, that's where it's different. Like, it's...
Yeah, and the difference between me and you as well is I'm diagnosed. So people, like, that I work with and people that I'm related to, they know I've got Asperger's.
Yeah.
They're aware of it. They've known about it since I was diagnosed. So if I do ever do it in public... if I do it around someone that knows me, they just go, yeah, but, like, this is because of this.
Yeah.
You don't have the diagnosis. So when you do it in front of people, I imagine for you it's way more uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, I get embarrassed when I do things that are definitely show that I'm autistic. Like, it does make me feel bad. Like, there's been times with my boss where I've done things that, you know, I've not been able to go to work one day because everything's, like, too overwhelming, and I know I'm on the verge of having a meltdown, so there's no point me going to work because it'll happen. So I've called in sick. Do you know what I mean? The second I've done that, I've not had the meltdown, but then I've sent loads of, like, apology messages of, like, I'm so sorry, like, I hate that this happens, like, I'm embarrassed for the fact that this goes on. And they're fine, and they're like, don't worry about it, you can't help it, it's something you have no control over, relax.
Yeah.
Whereas for you, there's no diagnosis, there's no, like, official anything. So you don't feel like you could say to someone, sorry that happened, I have Asperger's, or sorry I'm on that, but I have ASD. Like, you wouldn't. You'd just go, sorry about that, I'm mental, or, like, you know, like, that's how you'll deal with it. And I think that in itself has more stress on you and will cause more meltdowns because you think, I can't do this in public because I have no excuse for this, which is just going to make it happen even more.
Yeah, I mean, I do. I describe myself as just mental all the time, which is, you're right.
Yeah, because you feel like you've got no official anything. Yeah. So this just makes it seem like you're a crazy person.
Yeah.
Whereas for me, it's fine. You know, it's like, don't worry, I have autism. I'm not a psycho.
Yeah.
And, like, I feel like you can just tell people that's what it is and it doesn't matter. It's not like I have to take my diagnosis around with me.
Yeah, I know. It's
and get the report out and just go, this is why this happened, if you care to read this.
It's just the like, a diagnosis would be like a comfort blanket for me. Like, it's like a reason that, I don't know, I feel like I can't say it without knowing for sure. Like, for me, even though all the signs are pointing towards it, I don't know for sure because I haven't got that thing that tells me. But that's like that's a me thing.
But I think it will... calm your meltdowns down a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think at the moment, because there's, like, instability of not knowing, I reckon yours are probably going to continue to be frequent.
Yeah.
You know, unless you start trying to do things yourself to, like, calm them down yourself. I've told you stuff to do, and I've given you, like, we're done with this now. Like, this is, like, this episode is pretty much coming to an end. But I have given you, like, loads of sensory stuff that I have
use.
But I feel like you need to get more involved with...
I know.
With, like, calming them down a little bit. Because otherwise, they are going to be something that you're... Do you know, like, people that are, like, epileptic or that kind of thing, like, worry about going out and having it happen? Or, like, people that are diabetic, like, having, like, you'll be one of them.
I know.
I'm not going to go out today because I feel like a meltdown's on the horizon. So today I'm just going to stay in until it happens.
Yeah, I know.
You'll just get more and more like that.
But we'll fix it. But yeah, that was just like a personal,
yeah,
a personal take on meltdowns.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, like I say, there's probably more to talk about, like controlling them. And, like, what actual triggers are of them that people can look out for. But, like, this could be something that would go on for a while.
Okay. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.